this week, in fact, the past few weeks, as we have had the Olympics happening in the world, and a lot of news is on there, and it's not only the events, but it's interesting on how they highlight different people in different walks of life, different things they've gone through to get to the place they are. This morning, what I want to do is I want to be able to look at a character in the Bible. In fact, if this character was at the Olympics, that's the only name we would hear about at the Olympics. This person here is off the charts when it comes to physical abilities. But when it comes spiritually, he had challenges. And I believe it's going to be a challenge for us today to be able to look in God's Word and heed the challenges that come our way. In fact, I found this and I thought instead of trying to reword it, I'd just kind of read it. It says the Bible is filled with characters, literally and figuratively. Perhaps the best way to describe how the Bible portrays its characters is human, because they are, in fact, human. The Bible is true, and the people that inhabit its pages were real people with real lives, real relationships, real joys, and real problems, just like us. The Bible does not shy away from presenting both the strengths and weaknesses of those it portrays. This makes the characters in the Bible practical in the sense that we can relate to them, and educational in the sense that we can learn from their successes and failures. Studying the people in the Bible is not merely about knowing historical fact. In their stories, we learn about who God is, we recognize human tendencies, and we learn by example, both through positive examples and cautionary tales. Even in society today, we recognize the power of story in learning about the lives of our contemporaries and our forebears. And since all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paying attention to the people in the Bible is beneficial. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, we're going to look at the rise and fall of Samson. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, help us now as we have had a great time of worship. We're rejoicing for those who are able to walk through these doors and be with us. We are so thankful to hear of a couple that is excited at how you've brought them together, and now as they face an opportunity to get married and be able to minister together for you. Lord, we also pray for our pastor. Continue to heal him. Help him to get back to us so we can rejoice with him. And Lord, now as we look into your word, you have given us characters throughout the Bible, those that we can't wait to meet in heaven. And then there are those that we step back and we know that we need to learn from their bad example, that we might avoid the steps they had taken. Father, as we go back into the Old Testament and land in the book of Judges, I pray you help us to look at this story that we're so familiar with, but once again, to be able to look at it with spiritual eyes, desiring to be able to learn lessons from this. And Father, if there's someone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, may they realize that the only way they can get away from the power of sin is through you. Father, help us now. May our hearts be open to your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there is an old phrase that might be familiar to many of you. And I think as you hear it, you're going to recall this everywhere from Stoics to different authors to coaches will mention this phrase. And this is going to be the outline of our text this morning. It says this. In fact, I have it on the screen there. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. And sow a character, reap a destiny. Let's go ahead and say that together, all right? Everybody, this is going to be participation time. Let's go ahead and start there with sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Here as we come into the life of Samson, one thing that we're going to see is that Satan comes after us. He comes after us on the battlefield of the mind. This is where he's going to engage us. This is where he's going to initiate battles. It's always going to come to the battle of the mind, and that's where it starts. And that's where we're going to see how it starts with Samson. In fact, many would say, you know, you have all kinds of great titles for a sermon about Samson. Some would say the pitiful fall of a powerful man. Others would present him as we're going to have the rise and fall of Samson. But what Samson presents us is what the passage that Caleb read for us today, where it says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Samson was one of the judges of Israel. God put his hand upon him. As you have your Bibles, as you look there in Judges 14, look at Judges chapter 13 and the last verse there in verse 25. "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." God had called Samson to be a judge. The book of Judges is a time where it says every man did that which was right in their own eyes, and he would raise these judges up to help them. But when it comes to Samson, Samson is one of those guys that we look at that has great potential. In fact, if you were an NFL scout, a major league scout, even a hockey scout, you would look at the life of Samson just in his physical abilities and say he's a number one draft choice. Anything we do to get this guy on our team, he's the guy we need to get. But what we need to do here is we look at him spiritually, look at him in the story that God has given us, realizing that there are warnings that we need to heed. So as we look at this, first of all, we're going to look at number one, sow a thought and reap an action. Look how this describes Samson in sowing a thought and reaping an action. Verse 1 of chapter 14. "And Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath, the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take the wife of an uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said to his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." As you look there in the passage, look how it starts off where it says in the phrase, "And he went down to Timnath," in verse 1. In verse 2, he says, "I have seen." And then in verse 3, it says, "She pleaseth me well." One thing that our enemy wants us to do is to follow our feelings. Wants us to follow our sensual desires. And here, as we start off with the part there, that he sows the thought and he's getting ready to reap an action. Even in this beginning stage of a character that we have heard so well. Once we see this, no doubt our minds will go back. And I want you to take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Even Jesus warns us, because as our enemy is trying to get us on the battlefield of the mind, and it will start with thoughts. With Samson, he goes to a place he shouldn't be. He sees someone that he shouldn't be with, and then he tells his dad and his mom, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." Look what it says in Matthew 5 and verse 27. "Ye have heard that it was said unto them of old time, that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust afterward hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Right here, as we look at a character, Samson, we see already his mind is grabbed by a wandering eye. As our enemy comes after us, he is always going to come after us about our thoughts. what's in our head, what gets into our head. It's amazing how he initiates on so many ways of not only TV, but now the internet, even through music, through advertisements. The battle comes on, and in this, the life of Samson is one that we need to watch and take warning. In fact, as you look at this, there are two amazing warnings, practical warnings we see in this passage. In fact, in these verses of 1 through 3, the warning of this: be careful of thoughts when they stray away from the counsel of parents. Young people, listen to this. Be careful of thoughts that stray away from the counsel of your parents. In verse 3, even as they're talking to their adult son, you can even see dad kind of going, "Hey, you know, let's talk about this. Can't you consider this?" And he was defiant. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, verses we're familiar with. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." But also listen to Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Here comes the first practical warning we see in this passage. We need to be careful when we have thoughts that go away from the counsel of our parents. And so you might be sitting there going, "Well, okay, well, I'm a little bit old right now. You know, mom and dad, they aren't around. I'm an adult now. What about me?" The second striking warning is this: be careful when they stray away from the commandments of Scripture. Be careful of thoughts when they stray away from the commandments of Scripture. See, as you look at the life of Samson, one thing we know about him is he had the vow of a Nazarite. In fact, that was explained in Deuteronomy chapter 6, but also in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it talks about the matter of unlawful marriages. Samson knew better, but Samson didn't feel like that applied. In fact, he was in love. Proverbs 28:26, where it talks about, "He who follows his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." We can moralize, we can rationalize all kinds of different thoughts, but brothers and sisters in Christ, if your thoughts ever stray away from the counsel of Scriptures, and if you're saying, well, I'm not sure, I got a decision I got to make, I'm not sure, you could ask anybody in here about that. Anybody. You go to them and say, "Can you help me find a passage on this?" They will help steer you to somebody else. But you know, there's a wild thought. This is a wild thought. You might want to write this down. Google it in the internet. What does the Bible say about this? It will get you started. I'm kind of amazed that even Google will go to the Bible and sometimes start breadcrumbs that can lead you to study. Just because we might say, "Well, I'm not sure," does not get us off the hook. Right here we see the warnings already here at the beginning. Be careful when your thoughts go away from the counsel of your parents, but also be careful when your thoughts take you away from the counsel of Scripture, the commandments of Scripture. It says, "Sin is like a poisonous root. It grows slowly and destroys completely." You sow a thought, you reap an action. In the life of Samson, we see it starts right here. He sows a thought and he reaps an action. And as you go on in the life of Samson, he is one of those that when you're in junior church or children's Sunday school, he's like an action movie in flannel graph. The things that he does and accomplishes is amazing. And we're only going to highlight a few, but I want you to see the next point, this. Not only do you sow a thought and you reap an action, but then you sow an action and you reap a habit. Go to chapter 16. 16 and verses 1 through 3. Right now we come in the matter of Samson, that he has this thought that has reaped an action, but now his actions are starting to reap a habit. It says then, chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. What I want you to see here is that he sows an action that reaps a habit. He has been tempted and he's failed, and now without pretense, he just walks right in. All of a sudden, now this becomes a part of his life, of the person that he goes to see in verse 1. As he goes in there, it becomes a dangerous game that he's playing. In fact, right now he's engaging on the fact that this action has now led to a habit, and it seems like it was rational. He could moralize it, but now it is becoming to a point, if it's immoral, it becomes irrational, that you're thinking, here is a judge of Israel, leader of Israel, that all of a sudden his life is so desensitized, he's walking in to a woman of the night. And it's in public. In fact, I had put down in my notes that Samson's deeds are becoming perverse. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, the seventh commandment talks about this. All of a sudden, here the judge of Israel, the one who would name that Jehovah is his God, he has this that he's doing. He's breaking the seventh commandment. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 2 Timothy 2 in verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He has sown an action, now he's reaping a habit, and now his habit is becoming perverse. He's going against Scripture, but it's without pretense. Now it's wide open. In fact, that's the next thing. It's public. It's public. He is there for all to see. In fact, as you look at verse 2, it was told the Gazites, people knew this was out there. They knew how he lived his life. In fact, many times when it comes to a matter of temptation, we might think this, well, it's just about me. I mean, it's not going to affect anybody else. It's just about now. I mean, it's here right now. I'm dealing with this, and nobody's going to know. It's not going to affect all that. Temptation is always, it is always about your future. It is always about your faith. And it is always about your family. When it comes to the matter of sin and temptation, it never comes to the point that it's just this circle. And here, this life is showing us that. You know, as we proclaim the gospel, that the gospel can save anybody. Amen? But we need to remember that sin is wicked. And that sin can destroy a life. And if we're not careful, even as Samson would be in the hall of faith, he is one that he is letting his habit start to become a character. But before we get to that point, it is interesting to see in this, not only is his sins becoming, his deeds are becoming perverse, public, and public, they're also becoming problematic because Samson is in a dangerous place. Yet he's being delivered. He's not living a life that is one that you would take your kids and say, you need to be like Samson. But it's interesting. Even as this is going on, he's being delivered. It's not like he's going, well, yeah, I kind of can feel the effects of it. It seems like he is strong as ever. Listen to some of the accomplishments that he has done up to this point in chapter 16. He killed a lion with his bare hands. He also killed 30 Philistines single-handedly. In fact, in this situation right here, we always think about Samson's strength, how strong he was, right? Right? Have you ever thought about how fast he was? Because as you look there in chapter 15, in verses 3 and 4, he was upset and he was going to put some revenge on somebody. So what he did is he caught not only one fox, he caught 300 foxes. Now, when you're driving down the road, no doubt like you and me, sometimes you go there and you might see a deer off to the side, and you realize, okay, that deer, he is looking at the road, and he's thinking about it. We need to be real careful, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, he just, look at that. Do you see the deer? Do you see the deer? You do that with the family, right? Hey, you see the deer over there. Sometimes we see the squirrel comes out there, and it's like, okay, make up your mind. You know, I don't want to hit you. And then he runs back. Or you see the other one's like, that's a turtle. But when it comes to a fox, I remember the first time I saw a fox run, I could not believe how fast it was. It just blew by right in front of us. I was like, what was that? I think it was a fox. I couldn't believe how fast it was. Can you imagine if you were in Israel riding your chariot, and all of a sudden you're going like, whoa, what was that? That was a fox. Whoa, what was that? That was Samson. All right? He was booking, and he caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together, put a torch in there, and sent them to the cornfields. I mean, this, you can imagine the Carolina Panthers right now are thinking, if only this guy was available in the draft. It's amazing how fast he was. But you know, even as fast as he was, we still look at his strength. And look there in chapter 16 and verse 3. It says that Samson lay till midnight. Here he knows the assassins are there. They're lying in wait. They can't wait to get him. But it says he lay till midnight. He arose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Can you imagine what this looked like? In fact, as you find different studies on this, it says he's still strong enough to lift gates of Gaza, carry them away while the ambushers slept. They estimate that the gates were 3.3 feet thick, 9.9 feet high, up to 5 to 10 tons. And he carries them 36 miles up an elevation of 3,200 feet. I mean, I just get thrilled when I, you know, get a jar done for Deb, you know, that she can't get after three times, all right? And can you imagine the assassins that were there waiting going, oh, we got him. We got him. We know where he's at. He's right there. He's with her. I'll tell you what, let's just lay in wait, because when he comes out, we're going to kill him. We've got this. Finally, the plan is going to work. And all of a sudden, oh, wait. Okay, he's coming out. He's coming out. He's coming down the stairs. Get ready. Get ready. He's going to the gate. The gates are locked. He can't get out. He just picked up the gate. He's walking away with the gate. Let's go to plan B. You know, as we look at this and we see that in the life of Samson, it might be humorous to think of how this powerful man had all these strengths, but remember, he has sown a thought that reaps an action. He has sown an action that has reaped a habit. And right now he is playing with sin. And even as he's in a dangerous position, he's being delivered. And it seems like you would say, well, it seems like Samson is blessed. You know, when we had, I was a youth pastor, and Deb and I had the family up in New Hampshire. On the lot that we had, we wanted to remove some trees. So we had a guy who was a logger in the church. I mean, wouldn't you love to have that on your business card? Logger, Bob the logger. He was a guy that he took trees down, he put them in his, he would clear out areas and just had an amazing machine. But he had a chainsaw that seemed like it was 8 feet long, and he was skinny as a rail. And I can remember he came over and he climbed up these trees, he whacked off limbs, and I thought, yeah, just, you know, I mean, how hard can this be? I couldn't even pick up his chainsaw. And all of a sudden, he was going to drop a tree, and he said, I'm going to drop this tree, I'm going to drop it. I'm going to drop it right here, in between your house and the neighbor's house. I'm going to drop that. You know, I had confidence in him. I don't know if my neighbor did, but as he did it, sure enough, he dropped it right where he said he was going to drop it. And after it fell down, and it was, I think it was a Chinese elm, he got it down. All of a sudden, he's looking at the stump, and he said, "Hey, Bob, come here. Come here for a minute." He took the end of his chainsaw, and he just scooped out the center of that stump. And he said, "You know what? The tree looked like it was doing fine, had leaves on." He said, "This tree was dead." He said, "This tree was going to go sometime." He said, "This tree's..." And they called it up there, I don't know if that's what they do around here, but they called it punked. He said, "This tree is punked." And it was just like picking up oatmeal. Just scooped it right out of the center of that tree. And sure enough, when the tree came down, it had tree rot all the way through it. It looked strong, but it was already dying on the inside. Samson here looks strong. He's still doing some amazing things. But now his habit is going to start to become a character. The third point is this: you sow a habit and you reap a character. In chapter 16 and verse 4, it says, "And it came to pass afterward he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver." They say the lords of the Philistines, there were five lords of the Philistines. In fact, you can look in chapter 15 and verse 20. Samson has been the judge for 20 years. He has ruled the land, and the Philistines, they just can't stand it anymore. The destruction he has brought to their country, and again, that's what God brought him there for, but the challenge was he wasn't following with a whole heart. And all of a sudden, now his habit becomes a character, and they're realizing, okay, you need to draw him in. Remember, his actions are perverse, they're public, and they're problematic. And Samson has no idea how dangerous it is right now. Because now there's going to be this game that's going to be played of, "Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." Because Delilah comes to him and says, "You know, why are you so strong? Sammy, why are you so strong? You're so big and muscly, all right? What makes you so strong?" And all of a sudden, Samson starts playing this game that starts drawing him closer in the fact he is flirting with sin. Maybe his thoughts was, nothing's happening to me. I'm living the way I want, nothing. Now, listen, I'm still strong. You know, they're still looking for the gates over there. But now he comes to this point that he starts to play this game. In fact, his habit is causing him to flirt with sin. In verse 7, he starts to say this: "If you want to know where my strength lies, if you take my hair and tie seven strings on it, seven bowstrings on there." And sure enough, she does this. She ties his hair, and then she says, "Samson, the Philistines be upon you." And it says that the men were there. They were ready to attack. And can you imagine, like, going, "We are going to get him." They're hiding behind the curtains. All of a sudden, he gets up and just takes these threads off of them. And they're probably going, "Shh, don't move, don't move." All right, because he's loose and he's looking. And then she's going, "Sam, you're not taking me seriously. Why are you so strong?" He says, "Okay, if you take new ropes and tie me up," in verse 11. And I want you to look at the progress that he's going, because then finally he breaks through those, and then he says in verse 13, "If you take the locks of my hair," and now he's getting close, "and you put them into this huge hair barrette," in verse 13. It's like a railroad tie that they tie his hair to. And then she says, "The Philistines be upon you." And it says he got up with that still in his hair. So he's got this giant barrette, like a railroad tie, coming through there. And here he has flirted with sin. His habit has now caused him to flirt with sin. He's not taking it seriously. And what he doesn't realize is the whole time, sin sometimes makes you so dumb. I mean, she says, "Where does your strength come from?" And he says, "Well, try this. Okay, fall asleep, night-night, And she does that. He wakes up. You think at one time he would go, you know what? Something's not right here. Does she? I think she likes me. I don't know. Until finally, all of a sudden, she cries. She weeps. And she says, you are not, I thought you loved me. And then all of a sudden, not only did his habit cause him to flirt with sin, but now his habit has, he's consumed by his sin. As you look at verse 15, he confesses all. Sin always wants our all. He told her everything. McIntosh said this, the lap of Delilah proved too strong for the heart of Samson, and what 1,000 Philistines could not do was done by the ensnaring influence of a single person. All of a sudden now she causes him to fall asleep. She has someone come in and shave his head. And when he shaves his head, all of a sudden, he says in verse 18, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and they brought the money in their hand. She made him to sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Here we see that you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. Now he sows a character, and he reaps a destiny. What could have been said about Samson? We hear everything that goes on in the Olympics and different characters that are being mentioned and different people that have done amazing physical traits would pale in comparison that if Samson would have lived his life pleasing to the Lord, but he did what he wanted to do, followed his own passions, and the enemy just reeled him in. And now in verse 20 it says, and the Philistines, she said this, the Philistines be upon thee, and Samson, he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And you ought to mark this in your Bible. It's one of the saddest phrases in the Bible. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He felt strong. He thought he could handle this. Then all of a sudden he crossed the line. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. No doubt you've heard this, and maybe it's in your Bible, sin blinds, sin binds, and sin grinds. Here we see that as they shaved his head, he is destroyed, and the spirit has departed from him. There's no power, there's no joy, there's no spiritual discipline, there's no impact, there's no testimony, there's no separation. In fact, in this passage, as we look at this and as you hear the phrase, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. What we just saw is the negative side of that. And I hope and pray it's a warning to us, because our enemy is trying to deceive strong men and women today. And he does this by starting in the battlefield of the mind. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can't defeat Satan on your own. You have to come to the Savior. And he even says, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. And he can help you with the power of sin. But as believers, this warning comes to us, in that Samson was, he was flesh and blood just like you and me. But it started with a thought. Here we are, Bible Baptist Church of Matthew, North Carolina. Our desire should always be that we need to heed the warning when it comes not only from the counsel of our parents, but when it comes from the commandments of Scripture. For Samson, he could have turned it around. He could have confessed and come to the Lord, but he didn't. I had Caleb read the passage this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So take your Bibles, go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll conclude with this. First Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What a clarion call to all of us. But I love also that the paragraph doesn't end until verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it or endure it. The story of Samson, the rise and fall of Samson, is a negative example for us to be able to heed and look at Scripture and realize that God put these stories in for us to be able to learn from their examples. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray this becomes one of those times of a person we know about. We know of his physical traits and of his major accomplishments, but realizing this, his heart started to turn when his thoughts strayed from Scripture. May this be a warning that we heed and not try to just brush it off. Father, I pray that you would take your word and the character of a man you put three chapters in your Bible for us to read and to see. A man that was a leader, a man that had great potential, but he also had a problem with his thought life. Father, may we realize that what we hold in our laps, your word, is what you desire for us to be into and to let it saturate us and help us to make our decisions. Father, may we take this phrase of sowing a thought and reaping an action, sowing an action, reaping a habit, sowing a habit that reaps a character and a character that reaps a destiny. May they not be something that we just remember that from the life of Samson, but realizing that we look at principles in your word that would cause us to draw as close to you as we possibly can. And Father, I also pray if there's someone here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, and they're sensing the battle that they're in, Father, I pray you draw them to yourself. Help them not to leave unless they deal with the sin and come to you for their saving. The saving of their soul. As heads bowed and eyes are closed, maybe there is someone here that you've yet to come to a decision of Christ, knowing Christ as your Savior. But as you're sitting here today, you're like, you know what? I'm not playing games. God is working on my heart. Pastor, I just want you to pray for me. Pray that I'll be saved soon. Nobody's looking around. I know raising your hand can be hard at times. But if you're serious, I'm looking and I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass you in any way, but I will pray for you that you will get saved soon. Is there anybody like that this morning? Say, Pastor, pray for me. Anybody like that at all? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've looked in Scripture to a story that maybe we're very familiar with. But I hope and pray you would be like me, that you would take this and realize there's some lessons I need to learn and I need to be aware of and I need to take heed to. May this be something that we take heed to. Father, I pray that you would, again, work in hearts. Lord, help us always to love your word, even when there's times we hear tough messages, realizing you gave them to us for an example that we should learn from. Lord, now I pray that you would continue to work in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, Stephen's going to come up. He's going to lead us in a song. And if the Lord is working in your heart, take this time, even right there as we stand in the pew that you're in, bow your head and do business with the Lord. This right here, if it's a matter of just like, Lord, help me. Help me to learn from this, not to let this happen.